All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today's October 22nd, 2025. And our top story this morning, we have got another isolated event. This time, subprime auto lender PrimaLend has officially filed for bankruptcy. We talked about this one earlier this week, that there was speculation this was coming, that PrimaLend has gone 3 months, I think it was several months at least, without making any of the payments on their bonds. They hired Houlihan Lokey earlier this week to advise. And anytime I've ever seen a story of any company anywhere hiring Houlihan Lokey to advise when they miss bond payments, bankruptcy follows shortly after. So we kind of saw this one coming. It was a little bit telegraphed. Now look, guys, once is an isolated event. That's Tricolor. Twice is a coincidence. There's First Brands. Three times is a trend. PrimaLend makes this a trend. They are the third bankruptcy in the auto space inside of what, about the last five, maybe 6 weeks, when Tricolor was middle of September, that one hit. So that's three here. Now, let's talk similarities. It's in the auto space, very similar to Tricolor and First Brands, who were both auto space. First Brands was auto parts, not really dealerships. Other similarities, well, that's about it. It's a bankruptcy in the subprime. That was the other one. Lenders in subprime, low interest or low income borrowers. They specialized in buy here, pay here, or BHPH dealerships, which are basically those guys that shout into the radio, good credit, bad credit, no problem. Those kind of guys. You know, no bank will lend to you. Come on and buy at our dealership because we do business with this PrimaLend outfit, and they'll lend to freaking anybody. So even you can get into a car. Well, now they're bankrupt. People aren't making their payments. Now let's talk about some of the differences here between what's going on with PrimaLend and First Brands and Tricolor. No talk of fraud. That's an important distinction. Tricolor and First Brands both involve the multiple pledging of collateral. I have seen nothing to suggest that's happening here at PrimaLend. So that's a big difference here. This looks like it's just a case of people not making their car payments. Also, PrimaLend is a lot smaller. They listed assets and liabilities between $100 and $500 million. That is a fraction the size of either Tricolor or First Brand. So it's a smaller bankruptcy, no fraud involved, but it's another subprime auto lender. And I can't help but look at names like Carvana, names like CarMax, names like Ally Financial, and say, if there's so many problems in the auto space, if so many people are delinquent in their payments and not making their payments, how long before the bell starts tolling for those names? Ally is the biggest player in automotive finance. They are really exposed to this space. Carvana, obviously, that name has just defied reality since there were some short-selling reports came out last year alleging fraud at that company. Since then, their stock has pretty much gone up in a straight line. Gotta wonder how long before it affects them. And, you know, the whole auto securitization market, right? This involves missed payments on bonds. Who wants to buy ABS, asset-backed securities, backed by automotive loans right now after these three bankruptcies? So I think we're going to see a lot of banks, a lot of institutions are going to start playing defense, not want to lend into these categories, which means the players in those categories who are dependent on securitization may find themselves strapped for liquidity to keep making loans, in which case their business just flounders. So that's going on this morning. We've also got a big story with Netflix earnings. That stock is down big this morning. It's dragging the NASDAQ lower. A big miss on their earnings resulting from a $619 million tax bill in Brazil. Otherwise, their earnings were pretty good at Netflix. Their free cash flow, $266 billion, beat estimates. They raised their forecast for free cash flow for the year. So, I mean, it was an otherwise good earnings report, but that big miss, they missed earnings by about $400 million. The market did not like that. Those shares are selling off. Also interesting in their earnings release, we found out that Netflix is one of the contenders who is bidding on Warner Brothers Discovery. That's another name, Warner Brothers Discovery. Their stock is ripping this morning because we got the news just hours ago that the company has rejected an offer from Paramount Skydance. That's the Ellison family throwing around money that they probably don't have in that case. But Warner Brothers Discovery says, no, Paramount, Skydance, your offer is not good enough. We also found out that Comcast and Netflix are both potential suitors for that company. So, you know, no matter what happens here, it looks like somebody's going to end up buying Warner Brothers Discovery, more consolidation in the media and the streaming space, and eventually probably more sob stories from anchors at CNBC or CNN, not CNBC, CNN, who probably will get laid off whenever that merger happens. CNN is one of the assets Warner Brothers Discovery is looking to sell. What else we got this morning? Texas Instruments reported their earnings. That stock is down big this morning. A slight earnings miss and a revenue beat, but it was their disappointing guidance that's tanking the company right now. And you know, it was just a month ago that Texas Instruments CEO was in the press telling us they expect tremendous growth from data centers. 50% year-over-year growth we're expecting. I guess that comes later because it sure as heck didn't show up in Texas Instruments earnings. It's almost like this data center story that they're all full of shit. But I digress. Let's talk about Beyond Disgusting. I mean, Beyond Meat. They're in the news again this morning. I freaking love this story. The squeeze of Beyond Meat continues. The four-day rally in Beyond shares is 1,300%. Look, enjoy it while it lasts, guys, because I can tell you people are going to start buying used video game cartridges and discs again before they start eating that shit. So at the end of the day, you have a company with just an absolute BS business model. But there's actually one reason I'm rooting for this one. We'll have to talk about this a little bit later. But I find myself cheering for Beyond Meat. Yep, who had that on their 2020s bingo card? Jack getting down with Beyond Meat squeeze. Well, when you see why, maybe you'll understand that one. Meanwhile, we got a story that's kind of bumming me out this morning a little bit. Mattel missed earnings by quite a bit here. North American sales down double digits. Tariffs almost certainly playing a role there. Barbie sales down 17%. Fisher-Price sales down 19%. Shit, you know, the kids aren't getting toys. That sucks. I mean, you can say what you want about plastic crap made in China and all that other stuff. Kids don't understand that. And you know, it's just a sign of the times, guys. It's a sign of the tariffs and the trade war. It's a sign of consumers that are tapped. And it doesn't bode well for what the Christmas season holds this year. Now, one head scratcher in that list, despite all these plummeting double-digit sales, Hot Wheels are up 8% year over year. Somebody explain to me why the sudden surge in sales of Hot Wheels when every other toy category is getting clobbered. That didn't really make a lot of sense to me, but that's the numbers they reported. Interesting developments in the trade war as well. Volkswagen, the German automaker, is reporting that they may face production stoppages soon due to a shortage of chips from Nexperia. Now, Nexperia, that's one we talked about last week. Remember, the Dutch government basically seized the company. They made the Chinese CEO, bye-bye, you're out of here. They took over the company. It's a Chinese-owned company that produces chips in the Netherlands, and they were worried about a chip shortage. And so the Dutch government seizes the company, and then lo and behold, we end up with a chip shortage anyway for European automakers. So Europe is kind of digging in their heels a little bit in the trade war, taking on the Chinese, but it's causing problems for the European auto market. I don't know that they have an out here. That's an interesting one. And we've got rumors swirling of a trade deal with India could be in the works. Another big meeting that's expected to happen at this Asia-Pacific summit in South Korea next week. Supposedly tariffs from India could go from 50% down to 15 or 16% is the number being floated. And there are unconfirmed rumors that the Indians may be placing their buying of Russian crude oil on the table. So that's an interesting development. That's been kind of a sticking point. India has been faced with one of the highest tariffs in all of Asia, even though early on it looked like they were one of the more likely ones to cut a deal. And of course, metals are down a little bit this morning, but not as crazy as yesterday. Shout out to my friend Bob Coleman from Idaho Armored Vaults, who came on the channel to talk about that one yesterday. But we're going to look at the metals as well, too. Guys, there is a lot going on once again this morning. How about we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. If for you new guys, come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads. Right now, the S&P is up by 9 points or 0.14%. Stocks going a whole bunch of nowhere this morning. The Dow is also just barely positive, 0.09% higher, up by about 44 points ahead of the opening bell. The NASDAQ is the one index that's in the red here, weighed down by those Netflix earnings, off by 13 points or 0.06% lower. Stocks pretty much flat this morning. Looking at the DXY, that is higher once again by 10 basis points. The decline in the euro and the decline in the yen continues here. That is pushing the dollar a little bit higher. Looking over at the bond market, we got yields are a little bit higher this morning after several days of declines. The 30-year Treasury, 4.551. That is higher by a fraction of 1 point. The 10-year is at 3.970, higher by almost 1 point. The 2-year, meanwhile, is up also almost 1 point at 3.463. And the 1 month at 4.016, that is down a fraction of a point. But not a lot of movement in bonds this morning either. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got some more red in metals, but a little bit of green. There's one little green sliver in there. All right, we'll cling to that. Let's start with spot gold, $4,060 for spot gold. That is off by $64 more this morning, or 1.5% lower. We're looking at almost $300 in two-day sales for gold here. Meanwhile, the December gold futures at $4,078, that's off by 30 bucks or about 0.75%. We are starting to see that gap between New York and London close a little bit. Silver, we have got the London prices lower, but the New York price is higher. That's interesting. Let's start with spot in London. That is down 28, almost 29 cents or about 0.57% at 48.44. Brutal sell-off in silver yesterday. Meanwhile, the New York price, the December front month COMEX contract, is actually a little bit higher here, $48.04. That's up by 33 cents or 0.7%. We are seeing that gap between New York and London. It has shrunk violently in the last few days. It was as high as $3 last week. Now we are down to just 40 cents arbitrage between New York and London. That should slow the flow of metal from New York across the Atlantic back into London. It's a little bit quieter than it was yesterday. We're not going to rehash everything we talked about, but let me just show you guys real quick on the gold and silver charts here. The relative strength index is what I want to point out here. Obviously, big, brutal sell-off for 2 days there in gold, but look at the decline in the RSI. Gold was way overbought with the RSI up around 87. We're now down to a far more respectable 55, which is basically neutral territory. So this was a technically driven sell-off. Leverage was being shaken out of the tree. We always say be careful on leverage on this channel for good reason because of what happened yesterday. So gold looking a little bit better here. Silver, same story, brutal sell-off that happened over the last couple of days. Where's my paintbrush? There we go. Big sell-off in silver, but also a big normalization in the relative strength index, which is a measure of momentum, currently sitting at 51 in neutral territory. So the charts look a lot better for metal here. But as always, guys, be careful. A lot of comments yesterday, a lot of metal dip buyers. Are you guys still buying that dip? Let me know in the comments. I like the shiny. Meanwhile, copper is higher by 0.33% this morning. Platinum is up 1.4%. Platinum and palladium both sold off more than 100 bucks yesterday with that big precious metal sell-off. They are rebounding this morning. We've got platinum is up 20 bucks or 1.3% and palladium up the same 20 bucks. 1.5% higher. So the PGM metals looking a little bit better. And crude oil is a little bit higher here, up $1.29 this morning, $58.54 for December WTI futures. Looking over at Bitcoin, Bitcoin had a pretty rough day yesterday. That is an ugly looking candle that Bitcoin put in yesterday. $108,318 is priced on Coinbase here, off about $2,000 from where we were yesterday. Keep an eye on the trade talks, guys, and this big meeting that's going on in South Korea where we're meeting the South Koreans, the Indians, maybe Xi Jinping. Yesterday, Trump said maybe not Xi Jinping. I can tell you the last time we had, you know, any kind of big trade war escalation or flare-up, we got this monster red candle when that happened. So if this meeting in South Korea doesn't go well, expect a sell-off in Bitcoin. Meanwhile, we've got the big one of the day here. Subprime lender PrimaLend enters bankruptcy after a bond default. We saw this one coming. It is now official. PrimaLend Capital Partners filed for bankruptcy after months of negotiations with creditors following missed interest payments on its debt. PrimaLend, which provides financing to auto dealerships that cater to subprime borrowers, listed estimated assets and liabilities below $500 million each, according to court documents it filed in the Northern District of Texas. So that's an important one there, guys. You know, number one, it's a fraction of the size of Tricolor. This is much smaller. But the fact that these guys are filing for bankruptcy in the Northern District of Texas, is this another story where the surge of deportations and, you know, the sudden change in immigration policy may be contributing to this bankruptcy here? Again, you know, we saw with Tricolor, 30,000 missing cars that they think just drove across the border when people self-deported. Plus, when somebody gets deported, are they going to pay their bills if the car gets left behind in America? They're going to keep making their car payments? Probably not. This is another subprime lender, so maybe they were also specializing to people without social security numbers or with no credit history. So there's a little bit of overlap here with the Tricolor story. Now, in a press release, PrimaLend said it was pursuing a sale of the business in bankruptcy court and would continue to fund and service loans to its own borrowers. That's kind of misleading. They haven't paid interest in months. PrimaLend finances buy here, pay here auto dealerships, which serve low-income borrowers. And there's that low-income slash subprime slash risky bet. You know, you make a bunch of loans to people who can't pay them back. In particular, guys, that 2021, 22, and 23 vintage car loans, when everybody was flush with stimmy cash and their credit scores went way up because, well, it was illegal to report delinquencies, all of a sudden risky borrowers looked really good. And, well, a lot of people are missing their payments now. Pay attention, you Carvana, CarMax, and Ally shareholders, guys. There is more trouble to come in the auto space. And we got Netflix earnings. This one is weighing on the NASDAQ this morning. Netflix says a tax dispute hurt a otherwise solid quarter, and the shares are tumbling. Netflix said a tax dispute with Brazil cut into third quarter earnings, marring results that otherwise fell in line with Wall Street estimates. The world's most valuable entertainment company posted quarterly operating income of $3.24 billion, according to a statement Tuesday. That's about $400 million below its own forecasts and analyst estimates. The company's outlook for the current quarter is largely in line with Wall Street projections. Netflix had to pay about $619 million to settle a multi-year tax dispute with Brazilian authorities going back to 2022. The company had identified the potential risk in previous filings, but not in its earnings guidance, and said it would have beaten forecasts if not for the expense. Future payments will be smaller. We don't expect this matter to have a material impact on future results, the company said. Despite this array of programming, they're talking about some of the things that went well. Netflix sought to address the concerns in a letter to shareholders, touting record subscriber engagement in the most recent quarter. I don't know what subscriber engagement really means. Does that mean growth, or does that just mean people are using their accounts? The company has an even stronger lineup of programming set for the final 3 months of the year, including the last season of Stranger Things, a sequel to the mystery film Knives Out, and a new movies from Guillermo del Toro and Kathryn Bigelow. Despite this array of programming, Netflix generated $2.66 billion in free cash flow in the third quarter, beating Wall Street estimates, and increased its forecast for the year to about $9 billion. The company will use some of that money to repurchase shares and invest in programming, but it also flagged the possibility of mergers and acquisitions. Netflix has expressed interest in buying some of the assets owned by Warner Brothers Discovery, Bloomberg has reported. So before we get into that Warner Brothers story, you can see here Netflix shares are being, well, they're taken to the woodshed this morning, down 7.1%, $1,152 a share for Netflix, down by $88.50 here. Big down day for Netflix, but year to date, this one was up 39%, so Netflix could afford to lose a few here. Now, let's talk about Warner Brothers here. I don't know what this lady's crowing about. Warner Brothers Discovery rejects Paramount offer, sources say, and the company ponders their sale options. More consolidation underway in the entertainment business. Warner Brothers Discovery's board rejected a nearly $60 billion offer from Paramount Skydance on Tuesday, sources said. and the company announced it would explore its options for the sale of the company. Reuters exclusively reported that the company's board rejected a mostly cash offer of nearly $24 a share for the company, whose assets include Warner Brothers Film and Television Studios, its CNN and other cable television networks, and its HBO Max streaming service, according to a source familiar with the matter. Comcast is likely to examine the media firm's assets, another source told Reuters on Tuesday. Netflix is also among those interested parties, CNBC reported, following earlier reports that Paramount Skydance CEO David Ellison was also in talks to acquire the whole company. Warner Brothers, the studio behind Harry Potter and DC Comics film franchises, announced plans in June to split into a studio-centric and cable-focused units by next year to separate its growing streaming business from its lagging cable network unit. So we've got three potential buyers here. We've got Paramount Skydance, also Comcast, also Netflix. Warner Brothers shares, well, they were ripping. Okay, yesterday, up 11% on this news. So this story broke right before the close yesterday. And they're up a little bit more ahead of the opening bell this morning, another 1.7%. Trading at $20.71. That's higher by about another 30 cents after rising more than $2 yesterday. And look, earnings season has gone pretty well right up until yesterday afternoon. Netflix was really the first bad number besides a couple of regional banks that had some credit issues. But Texas Instruments also reporting disappointing earnings. Texas Instruments stock tumbles on disappointing outlook. This one broke late yesterday. Texas Instruments provided a disappointing earnings forecast for the December quarter, and its shares fell in after-hours trading. For the September quarter, the semiconductor company reported earnings per share of $1.48. That's compared with Wall Street consensus of $1.49, so a slight miss on the bottom line. Top-line revenue came in at $4.74 billion, which was slightly ahead of the $4.65 billion, so a little bit of a beat on the top line there. But Texas Instruments forecast earnings per share for the current quarter of $1.13 to $1.39, which at the midpoint is below Wall Street's consensus of $1.41. I would add that even at the high point, that is below Wall Street's consensus of $1.41. So this is a majorly disappointing forecast for Texas Instruments. And the shares fell more than 8% in after-hours trading following the release. Now, look, guys, this is just a month after we got this headline. Texas Instruments CEO sees strong growth in data center market. Don't want to spend too much time on this one, but a month ago, you know, they told us revenue in the data center segment was expected to be growing at a pace of above 50%. Shout out to my friend Coastal Journal on X who pointed this one out. Where's all that data center growth? It sure as heck didn't show up in their most recent quarter. Texas Instruments shares down 9% ahead of the opening bell, $164.56. That's off by more than $16 this morning. And in a story that I kind of hate, but I kind of love it, you'll see why, Beyond Meat shares surge, extending a rally to almost 1,300%. Good God, what is going on? Are people suddenly eating this soy burger crap? No, of course not. This is just a short squeeze, guys. Beyond Meat shares doubled in pre-market trading Wednesday, boosting its four-day rally to almost 1,300% in an echo of the meme stock frenzies that periodically roil the markets. Shares in the struggling maker of plant-based burgers and sausages surged 100% to $7.33 this morning in New York. The stock, which closed at 52 cents on Thursday, is still down about 97% from its record high in 2019. But the stock began rallying Friday, and the advance picked up steam Monday when Business Insider reported on a trader named Dimitri S. had been touting the stock on social media. The momentum may have been powered by bearish traders covering their bets against Beyond Meat. About 64% of the shares available for trading had been sold short as of the end of September. Roundhill Investments added Beyond Meat to its Roundhill meme stock ETF, the firm said in a post in X late Monday. So, of course, that means ETFs are buying shares, probably adding to the short squeeze. Look at the move here. Up another 80% here, $6.49. It's up another $2.87. This stock was trading about 50 cents a share a few days ago. Again, when you zoom in, though, even this most recent rally, it just disappears because of the decline that this stock has seen. But look, it's not all bad here, guys. I mean, look, Beyond Meat is beyond disgusting. Nobody wants to eat this crap. Even when there was meat shortages in 2021, there was no pork, chicken, or beef at the supermarket. But there was plenty of Beyond Burgers for sale because nobody wanted to buy this stuff. But I find myself cheering for this one. Maybe it's got a little something to do with this. Short seller and former hedge fund manager, as well as former federal inmate Martin Shkreli, is down over 140% on his Beyond short position. Oh, that's a shame. And then we've got Martin saying, I shorted a tiny amount yesterday. Now I'm shorting more. Thank you, morons. Please make it go higher. Apes strong together. LMAO. So, I find myself rooting for the vegans here. What strange times these are. Who had Jack rooting for Beyond Meat in their 2020s bingo card? Hey, Martin, good luck, buddy. I love it. All right. Well, let's talk about this one. Meanwhile, Mattel misses Wall Street estimates as North American sales sink. Look, guys, you got, I think, the overlap here of the struggling U.S. consumer. You got the overlap of worries about Christmas season maybe won't be so good this year. And the trade war and tariffs certainly playing a role here, all in these Mattel earnings. Barbie maker Mattel posted third quarter results after the market closed on Tuesday that missed analysts' expectations as ongoing global tariffs continue to hamper the toy manufacturer's sales in North America. Shares of the company fell 4% in after-hours trading. Let's see, earnings per share, 89 cents versus $1.07 expected. Revenue of $1.74 billion. Versus $1.83 billion expected. So we got a big miss on EPS and a miss on revenue. Not good. For the quarter ended September 30th, the company reported net income of $278 million. That's down from $372 million a year earlier. Not good here. Net sales fell 6% to $1.74 billion, coming short of expectations. And then look at some of these segment numbers here. During the third quarter, sales in North America fell by 12%, with the largest year-over-year declines in the company's infant, toddler, and preschool category. International sales, meanwhile, climbed 3%. Look, the whole infant, toddler, preschool category, maybe struggling consumers, maybe declining birth rates also playing a role there. Again, there's not a lot to like in this story here. Overall, sales for two of Mattel's largest toy brands saw declining sales. Global Barbie sales fell 17% from the same quarter a year ago. Fisher-Price sales dropped 19% year over year. And oddly enough, the company's global Hot Wheels sales picked up 8%. Somebody help me with that. Like, one of these things is not like the others. Why are Hot Wheels suddenly picking up? Was there some big change? Are there like AI Hot Wheels out there that I don't know about? Or maybe quantum computing Hot Wheels that suddenly the sales are picking up? Or I don't get that. Everything else is like bad, bad, bad. Hot Wheels doing really good. So there's your silver lining. I don't quite get that. But Mattel shares under pressure this morning. Opening bell has rung. Let's get a refresh here. Down 7.6%, $17.38 for shares of Mattel. That's off by $1.44. Year to date, Mattel is now down for the year, off by about 2%. And this does not bode well for Christmas season and for the U.S. consumer, guys. Another trade war story here. Auto giant Volkswagen warns of output stoppages amid Nexperia chip disruption. This is a big one, guys. We talked about this Nexperia, how the Dutch government seized them last week, and the Chinese got all pissed about that, and they said, no more chips for you. Now Volkswagen may have to slow down production because of it. German auto giant Volkswagen on Wednesday warned of temporary production outages, citing China's export restrictions on semiconductors made by Nexperia. A spokesperson for Volkswagen told CNBC by email that while Nexperia is not a direct supplier of the company, some Nexperia parts are used in its vehicle's components, which are supplied by Volkswagen's direct suppliers. We're in close contact with all relevant stakeholders in light of the current situation to identify potential risks at an early stage and to be able to make decisions regarding any necessary measures, a Volkswagen spokesperson said. However, given the evolving circumstances, short-term effects on production cannot be ruled out. The update comes shortly after the German Association of Automotive Industry, or VDA, the country's main car industry lobby, said the China-Netherlands dispute over Nexperia could lead to significant production restrictions in the near future. So another escalation in the trade war here, this time between the Europeans and the Chinese, affecting German auto outputs. The auto industry has enough problems. This certainly won't help. Interesting. There's a lot riding on this this Asia-Pacific summit and cooling tensions in the trade war later this month. And speaking of trade war tensions, maybe some good news for a change. U.S. may cut India tariffs to 15 to 16% in a trade deal. That is according to Mint. India and the U.S. are nearing a trade deal that could lower tariffs on Indian exports to 15 to 16% from about 50%, the Mint newspaper reported, citing three unidentified people aware of the matter. New Delhi may agree to gradually reduce its imports of Russian oil and allow the U.S. to export more non-genetically modified American corn and soy meal, according to the report. So that's interesting there. The Russian oil has been a big sticking point. That's part of pressure from President Trump and European allies to get the Russians to back off in Ukraine. Also interesting there, possibly getting them to buy more non-GMO U.S. corn and soy meal. Soybean farmers in particular have been hit very hard by the trade war here. So maybe a deal with India would relieve some of that pressure. An agreement may be announced when President Trump and Prime Minister Narendra Modi possibly meet at the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit in Malaysia, the newspaper reported. Yet another deal riding on a good meeting in South Korea. There's a lot going to happen. Pay close attention to this summit next week, guys. If things go well at this meeting, we could see markets rally on relief from the trade tensions. If this meeting does not go well and people take their ball and go home, Bitcoin probably sells off hard and we probably see some Liberation Day-like anxiety in stocks and bonds. Trump imposed 50% duties on India's U.S.-bound exports last month over New Delhi's imports of Russian oil, as well as what the U.S. has called its high tariffs and non-tariff trade barriers to American goods. The rate was the highest in Asia and has led to a sharp downturn in U.S.-India ties, which had been warming for years. Still, the two sides have continued discussions toward a deal. During a Diwali celebration at the White House on Tuesday, Trump said Modi had assured him during a call that India would wind down its Russian oil purchases, raising the prospect of a reprieve. In a post on X, Modi acknowledged the call but did not share the contents of the discussion. There has been some skepticism in the press about whether Modi really put Russian oil on the table, or is that just President Trump saying a thing, as President Trump is prone to say things that at times end up not being accurate. Did I soften that enough to say the guy lies through his teeth a lot of times? Anyways, Modi acknowledged that the call happened. Maybe Russian oil is on the table. Maybe purchases of soybeans are on the table. So this is just another reason to keep an eye on that summit in South Korea at the end of this month, guys. And one more quick one here. BOE's Bailey warns of alarm bells ringing in private credit. So it's not just Twitter randos. It's not just Jamie Dimon and his cockroaches. Now we have central bankers warning about private credit risks. This one is interesting. The Bank of England warned of parallels between the $1.7 trillion private credit boom and the subprime debt crisis as UK officials confirmed plans to subject the market to stress tests. BOE Governor Andrew Bailey told the Parliament committee on Tuesday that alarm bells were ringing in the sector. He cited conversations with industry figures who assured him that everything was fine in their world, apart from the role of the ratings agencies, in an echo of the confusion over the quality of debt in subprime debt securitizations almost two decades ago. I said, well, we're not playing that movie again, are we? Bailey told a hearing of the House of Lords Financial Services Regulation Committee in London. If you were involved before the financial crisis and during it, alarm bells start going off at that point. The sector has ballooned since the GFC, driven in part by government's efforts to tighten regulation on commercial lenders and to reduce risks. It's also awash with cash from insurance firms, which require ratings for regulatory purposes. Firms are building more complex structures, such as collateralized fund obligations with investment-grade ratings, in part to accommodate insurance capital. And guys, all I can tell you is there was a lot of talk about what's going on in insurance with private credit and private lending. And some of these asset managers who have been buying up insurance companies recently, it stinks to high heaven. I still don't quite have my head around the whole thing, but certainly alarm bells going off is putting it mildly. And look, you know, as we're looking at the third bankruptcy here in subprime auto, Tricolor, First Brands, and now PrimaLend, gotta wonder, non-banks acting like banks, saying, oh, it's real easy to be a bank. It's actually incredibly hard. And then they start going bankrupt. And now we've got central bankers warning about private credit. Meanwhile, stocks are just sitting here whistling past the graveyard at all-time highs. Well, good luck with that one. And I just want to say thank you very much to Mr. Ed C. What's going on, Ed? He says, watching staffing earns tonight for job market insight. Watching staffing earns tonight for job market insight. I'm not sure what do you mean by staffing earns, staffing earnings. Do we have some big private, what's the term, like a temp agency or somebody like that reporting earnings tonight? I'm not familiar with that matter. I'm not a person familiar with the matter. But I can tell you job markets, if you're wondering about what's going on in the job market, let me just recommend Amanda Goodall. She is at the Jobs Chick on Twitter. Fantastic commentary on the state of the job market, the ridiculous state of the job market, how companies are laying people off, replacing them with H-1B visas, about ghost job postings, bullshit job postings, AI slop, crowding the inboxes of hiring managers. It is a horrible time to be looking for a job. So I can't comment on the staffing earnings tonight, but I can tell you the job market is a joke. And well, I guess we have no way of actually knowing because we're not getting non-farm payrolls because of the government shutdown, which is now in its 21st day, the second longest government shutdown in history. Thank you, Ed C, for supporting the channel, for being a Melonhead member for 8 months. Nashville Pasta Man says, I wish I had a Prima loan, I wouldn't pay it back. It seems like payback is optional, but Silly Rabbit Pasta Man, yeah, when you have a social security number and when you actually have a credit report, you have to pay your bills. That's how that works. Yeah, if you break the law coming here, you have no social security number, somebody's willing to give you a loan based on no credit history whatsoever because some ESG a-hole in Washington or New York gave them a really good ESG score because they lend to marginalized communities, then you can take that loan, buy a car, drive it across the border back to where you came from, sell it to a used car lot there, pocket the cash, come back across the border, rinse, repeat under a different name. And then we wonder why tens of thousands of cars are missing and why subprime auto lenders in Texas are going bankrupt. You got to pay your stuff back, though. Sorry, Pasta Man, doesn't quite work that way. Thank you very much, sir, for supporting the channel. Steve Woitis says, in Canadian fashion, I must apologize for the Jays winning the American League. Now, the Canadian government has repeatedly apologized for Bryan Adams. I had to explain that whole story to Gigi and the girls over the weekend. Congratulations, Canada, for winning the American League. Oh, it's baseball. It's boring. I haven't watched a baseball game in years, but yeah, go Yanks. Thank you, Steve, for supporting the channel, sir. Lisa B has been a Melonhead member for 20 months. Says, sub engagement here. Everyone join to thank Jack. Lisa, thank you so much for the engagement, for the kind words, for the support of the channel. I appreciate that very much. The good vibes this morning. Thank you very much, Lisa, for being a Melonhead member. Hey, Metal Seer. Gifted 5 Nobody Special Finance Memberships. Welcome to the Melon Patch, you 5 baby melons, you. Just a reminder, guys, when you are a Melonhead member, you get a free super chat once a month like we are looking at right now. Use that, and I will read and respond to your questions or comments on the air. Thanks again, Metal Seer. Everybody say thank you to Metal Seer in the comments for that one. The Nacho Man is back. Thank you, Nacho Man, for the generosity. He says, I heard Volkswagen was bringing back the Yugo. Funny story, my big sister used to drive a Yugo, I shit you not, back in the, I guess that would be the early 90s. She had one of those, man, that thing was a piece of junk. But I have fond memories of my big sister driving me around to baseball practice and stuff like that in the Yugo. She was the first one to get her license in the house, which meant she was chauffeur for little brothers and little sisters. Yeah, bring back the Yugo. I can't speak about that, but I can tell you the market needs an affordable option, guys. It doesn't have to be a Yugoslav shitbox, but the market needs affordable cars. What was this car, the Slate, that Pasta Man sent me over the weekend? Looks very interesting. It's an electric vehicle, which you guys know I'm not a big fan, but starting price for a new car of $25,000, yes, please. I'll even consider an electric vehicle in that price range. So, you know, all kidding aside, Nacho Man, and thank you for the laugh. Maybe we don't quite need to go that far, but I wouldn't mind an affordable option. Maybe something just a little bit nicer than a Yugo. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. David Otness, what's going on, David? I appreciate you becoming a YouTube member. Welcome to the channel, sir. I appreciate that very much. David Otness. There's got to be a joke in there about Otness somewhere, but I'm a little slow this morning. It's early yet. I'm not quite highly caffeinated enough. Thank you so much for the generous support of the channel, David. Metal Sears back again, says new Yugo is an SUV called the Wego. All right. Seating for additional passengers. And not to be confused with the car rental company that's Yago. You know, not, I don't know. I'm a little slow today. Thank you, Metal Sear, for supporting the channel, sir. Man, where did all these Yugo memories, they're just coming flooding back. I'm having like childhood nostalgia overload right now. Thanks again, Metal Sear. Chris Bott, what's going on, brother? He says central bankers like to get together and debase currency and play with their Hot Wheels. All right. So Jay Powell and Andrew Bailey, maybe a little bit of Kazuo Ueda, they're all playing with their vroom vrooms after debasing the currency. First, we print the money. Then we lower the bills, interest rates, and then we play with the Hot Wheels. And why do these German, UK, and American central bankers speak with a German accent? I have no freaking idea. That's just the way my brain produced the situation. And I don't have a lot of time to think about these things, guys. We improvise a lot of this. Yeah. All right. We finally have a valid explanation for that 8% surge in Hot Wheels. Central bankers buying it with printed money. I like the cut of your jib, Chris Bott. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Tom Dillon, thank you for the generosity, sir. He says, watched a video about the recent Cybercoin crash. Cybercoin crash? I'm not familiar with that one. Where some took the final exit. Oh, okay. Not Cybercoin. That's not a proper noun. That is the crypto crash. Some took the final exit. Yes, unfortunately, I heard a lot about that. Some of those guys were margined 100x. At that leverage, you don't really own the asset. You're just pretending. Yeah, look, guys, crypto people can't help themselves. It used to be penny stocks. Before that, it was poker. There's just a lot of degenerate gambling going on in the crypto space. And I would add, as we're looking at these credit worries that are popping up in subprime auto, it is not so hard to imagine if there's trouble with people paying their debts in subprime auto that some over-leveraged a-hole in the crypto space didn't borrow hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to prop up some shitcoin platform. And I just feel like any day now, we're going to hear about one of them going belly up. And when that happens, you can bet the selling is going to be like a waterfall. Guys, look, we are so due for a sell-off in crypto. I can't even tell you that sell-off we got on Friday, in my opinion, or last Friday, maybe two Fridays ago now, just a preview, that big sell-off. And again, watch that big event in South Korea. If it doesn't go well, crypto will be the first one to start liquidating. It's only money, guys. That's the only other thing I can say. There were some sad stories going around about that crypto crash. Thank you very much, Tom Dillon, for supporting the channel. Dookie, what's going on, Double D? He says, what's your thoughts on Trump potentially releasing the zero-point energy patent locked up at the NSA under disruptive technology? This technology used copious amounts of silver 107 and silver 109. I've heard a couple of versions of this zero-point energy thing, to be honest with you. Look, I liked Stargate Atlantis as much as the next guy. The idea that, you know, zero-point modules and these theoretical physics that the Department of Defense actually stole years ago, and they've kept it locked up probably next to the Ark of the Covenant at the end of Indiana Jones. Look, I'd love for something like that to happen and come out and magically fix all the world's energy problems. I just don't think it's very realistic. And all I can tell you is there is a lot of snake oil salesmen and BS artists that are out there talking about this stuff. I have tried very hard to get through some of it. It's science fiction until proven otherwise. That's my take on zero-point energy. But again, I really like the Stargate franchise, and zero-point module is really cool. You know, this little magical MacGuffin that powers the whole world. Sign me up. Just show me the science first. Thank you very much, Duke Dookie, for supporting the channel. Greg S. says maybe Grand Cayman will buy our cars since somehow they have $1.8 trillion of our treasuries. You caught that one, Greg S., didn't you? There was a story last week, something that I'm digging into a little bit, $1.8 trillion worth of U.S. treasuries very quietly ended up being held at banks in the Cayman Islands. What the hell? $1.8 trillion. All right, that's when I hear Cayman Islands, I immediately go to money laundering, organized crime. But $1.8 trillion, that's too big. I mean, there's a lot of crime and there's a lot of, you know, fraud in the world, and there's drug cartels, and they do billions of dollars a year in illicit business. But $1.8 trillion, that's too big for even organized crime, which means it's Wall Street or it's somebody. I don't know, Wall Street, London, New York, somebody is hiding $1.8 trillion of treasuries in the Cayman Islands for some reason. I don't know why, but it's scary, and I can't help but think 401ks and pensions are involved. I don't know the mechanics of it. It confuses the hell out of me when I try to get an understanding of it, but I did catch that story, and it's worrying. And, you know, there have been a lot of, like, near misses in pension markets recently. The UK gilt crisis in 2022 comes to mind. And, of course, all the mayhem that started in the banks in 2023, and then, of course, Liberation Day and the bond market blow up. Is somebody just taking all that nasty garbage and hiding it all in the Cayman Islands so they don't have to report it? I don't really know. But $1.8 trillion don't just magically appear. It's got to affect something somewhere else. If you guys have any ideas on what's going on there, my DMs are always open on Twitter. My inbox is available once you prove you're not a bot on YouTube. I'd love to hear your theories or any ideas about what's going on with that $1.8 trillion in the Caymans. It scared the crap out of me when I saw that, to be honest with you. But I can't speak to it with enough authority to be able to make a video and say definitively or even theoretically what's going on. Just that it's scary. Thank you very much, Greg, for supporting the channel, sir. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Appreciate the generosity and the super chats, guys. Thank you so much for that. Also, thank you to my magnanimous Melonhead members on YouTube and on Patreon for supporting the channel. Links down there to all that good stuff, should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out to the algorithm. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, until next time, live small and dream big. We'll be right back.